Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 30. Just one verse there, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. I want to welcome all of you today. Welcome those who are watching by live stream. Isaiah chapter 30. I want to talk to you today. This message at first may seem like just a long attempt to use an illustration from life, and it may seem kind of silly at first, but I believe that it's very important for the time that you're living in right now and that I'm living in. Knowing when to change lanes. Knowing when to change lanes. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.' Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." A promise from the Lord that His Spirit will guide you. "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Now, Father, without your help, I cannot bring forth anything of value this morning. So I come and humble myself before you. I ask for cleansing of all sin, Lord, that I might stand before your people with clean hands and with a pure heart. Lord, to bring forth your word in this hour, I pray, Lord, that you would make it clear and make it plain, Lord God, that we might let it be planted in our hearts to bring forth fruit. Jesus be exalted and glorified in every word of this message. That's my desire. And it's in that awesome, wonderful, mighty, majestic name above every other name that we pray. Jesus of Nazareth, strong Son of God. Amen. So I've been thinking about this for a while, and you know, the Christian life is not static. You may not be familiar with these words, but static means standing still, motionless, basically. So the Christian life is not static. It's not just something where you're, well, I'm a Christian, and that's all there is to it. The Christian life is dynamic. That means that there's movement. That means that there is action. That means that there are things taking place. Dynamic is exciting. Dynamic means that there are changes and motion and movement and things that are being done by the Lord in your life. And so it's not a static life, it's a dynamic life. Learn those words this morning. Say, my life is not static. My life is dynamic in the Lord. In the early church, you see this. When you read the book of Acts, you see that in spite of persecution, you see that their lives, they're not just hiding away in their homes with their worship services. They're out in the streets. They are doing the will of the Lord wherever they find themselves, and it's a movement. You know, when something new is taking place in the earth and many people gravitate towards that, we call it a movement. There have been many movements over the years. And so it's because it's not static. It's dynamic. It's moving. And so we use that word and we apply it to it. In the New Testament, there were many things that changed day by day. Now, you've got to grasp this point before we go forward. There were many changes. People's lives were being changed, but then what God called this person to do was not the same thing that He called the other person to do. Different giftings, different roads, different choices, different callings, different movement. That's why it was so exciting. You saw exciting things, different things happening in different people's lives. And there was all of this movement taking place, but there was a stability of truth. There was the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and His gospel is unchanging. Unchanging. So I want you to have that in your mind, because there was something that precipitated this message and caused me to think upon it, and we will come to that in a few moments. We see it in our society today. But I want you to understand there was excitement. There was dynamite, basically. The power of the Holy Spirit was at work. And there was movement and there was change. Constant change. and people being directed different ways, but it was all because their feet were planted firmly on the rock, which was Jesus Christ, and His truth is unchanging. It was unchanging then, and beloved, it is unchanging today. There is no movement. There is no change in truth. Sometimes we like to travel, as you know, Maggie and I, and we travel cross country. People say, why don't you fly? Well, I could give you a whole bunch of reasons why we don't want to fly today. I used to love flying, but it's my least favorite method right now. And so we love those long drives. We enjoy having that time just to talk and consider things and pray and just enjoy the scenery. As we go across the country, our destination may be Texas, where our son is, or it may be Georgia, all the way back home. And so we always take I-20, or almost always, to go all the way to our destination. But along the way, thanks largely in part to many, many truckers, there are many lane changes. There are many lane changes, not just because of that, but there are lane changes for many different reasons. We encounter the need to move over and let someone else have the preeminence. You know, now I could really joke here, and I won't go too far with it, but if Maggie's driving, the scripture would be, beloved, let us run the race. That would be her scripture for driving. And sometimes when I'm driving, it's consider others better than yourself and let them have the preeminence. And it causes much frustration in the car. But either way, there are lane changes. There are lane changes. I encounter blockages ahead. Sometimes there are wrecks. We've seen some wrecks that were so horrible, I hope I never see anything like it again. And when you have those blockages in the highway, then you have detours, lane changes, so that you can get around. And thanks to GPS that I'll come back to in a moment, I'm notified of all kinds of problems ahead, rough roads. If there's a rough road ahead, some of you need to learn this in your Christian walk. If there's a rough road ahead and you know about it, a simple lane change is all you need. Sometimes to get over and to stay on smooth pavement. Sometimes I have to just pull over at a truck stop to rest and refuel in order to continue the journey. Same thing driving around this city where we live. Constant construction. I'm grateful for it. It's frustration when you're in the middle of it, but when you travel across the country through some of the towns and cities you go through, and then you come back to Phoenix, Arizona, and you come into this valley, you're like, wow. If you see it with new eyes, wide streets, well-lit, clean roads. There's a lot of construction, but because of that, you always have good roads. And so going around the city here, you have to make constant lane changes. I don't know if any of you men are blessed with two forms of GPS. I have one that rides with me that always tells me that I'm in the wrong lane. I know I'm not the only one. They sell these things. I got mine for free. But... But you have a constant input as to which lane you need to be in to be prepared. And I will say that most of the time she's right. So you need to be in that lane. No, you need to be in that lane. And now we have GPS. You know, I was commenting just the other day. We're so blessed. Technology is such a blessing and in the long run, such a curse. But it is a blessing in many ways. And you know, GPS stands for Global Positioning System, and it depends upon 30 satellites that are in orbit that always are, let me just speak spiritually for a moment, they're always speaking, this system is always speaking from the heavens to tell you where you are and to tell you what's ahead and to give you warnings to let you know. Sometimes it will even tell you if there are police ahead. If there are speed traps, when we go across country, there are little towns. There are places that implement speed traps just to make money. And so it will tell you, it will warn you that there's a speed trap ahead. Praise God, we have a God positioning system, GPS, the Holy Spirit in our life that will let us know things that are coming, will let us know the dangers, will give us warnings, will let us know when there's a trap of the enemy coming up ahead, let us know how to avoid calamities, blockages, and will sometimes take us on detours. But we are always, there is one road that we're on. It is always the road of truth. It never changes. Your lanes change. Sometimes God wants you to switch lanes because He wants to use you in a different way, or He's trying to get you close to an exit so that you can rest, or so that you can pull over while something is taking place that might harm you. And then you get back. You've been slowed down a little bit. And if you don't know what's coming, if you don't know that God's in control, then you're all kinds of frustrated because you got slowed down, and you're blaming everybody because you got slowed down and it was God's GPS pulling you over, telling you to take a breather. And I love to, or I should say, I have to listen and I have to watch. If I'm going to understand this, if I'm going to be aware of these things, it's not going to happen in a static Christian life. It's only going to happen in a dynamic Christian life. A life that, to see what category we fall into, a life that accepts movement and change, can hear and can receive God's GPS, but a life that wants to be static and never change is immovable, unable to be used, unable to go in a dynamic way. So I have to listen, and I have to watch if I'm going to have safe travel, if I'm going to avoid speed traps and other people's crashes. A lot of times, you're affected by other people's crashes, aren't you? Listen, for God's ways are not our ways. We have to listen. God's ways are not our ways. I want you to repeat that after me. God's ways are not our ways. Such a foundational lesson for the Christian. Beloved, when I was lost and without the Lord, I was on the wrong freeway altogether. I had no GPS. The lost have no GPS. Isn't it amazing when you think about it? The millions on that highway, taking them somewhere that they wouldn't want to go if they knew, or yet they are told many times and they blindly still continue on the same road, thinking that even though they've been warned that they're going to be at a party at the destination to which they're going. It's a super highway, more lanes than you could count. And there are alerts all along the way, and there are exits all along the way. And yet they're so hard to see. But the broad freeway, that super freeway is so much fun. And so I was headed in one direction, but I noticed a small sign over to the side. I had to make preparation. I had to get over. Nobody else was noticing it in the area where I was. And there was this little sign, and it was an exit for a road to promised land and to heaven. Jesus described what that road was like. He said, it's narrow. Goes through a narrow gate, and few people find it. All these others are on this super freeway, and they're just going as fast as they can. But every now and then, somebody spots that sign and is moved upon to change. To change lanes and to get to the exit and to get on the narrow road that's going to lead to a place called heaven. And as soon as I got off of the highway, the super freeway, and I got on that narrow road, I was surprised because, as I am sometimes when we're traveling, lo and behold, it was a toll road. And I had to stop because there was a toll booth. And I pulled up to the window and the lady said, "Where is your, I need your fee for traveling on this road." And then it was given to me. I understood. I said, "I don't have to pay it. It's already been paid. Jesus paid it for me." And so I merged onto the freeway and I knew that I was headed in a totally new direction. And I knew that I had to stay on that highway. I knew that there was cost involved. It had been paid for me, but I knew that there was no turning back. I found that on this highway leading to a promised land and eventually heaven, that I still, it wasn't going to just carry me along without me being involved in any way. I had to listen to my GPS. I had to listen to see what on earth I was to do next, because there would be lane changes. I was on the only road that would lead to heaven. But there would be lane changes along the way. And I would have to listen. There would be many hazards that I would have to avoid. And there would be exits that I would take temporarily for rest and refueling. And let me talk to you a minute about rerouting. I love rerouting. How many of you use your GPS and you know what rerouting is? I can make a wrong turn and Maggie will say, you should have been in that other lane. I know, but she'll reroute me. And we've done it in the biggest of cities that I missed a turn and we're on a spaghetti loop, you know, of overpasses and all of these things. And GPS just reroutes me and takes me around a different way. And it's as though I never got off. It's as though I never missed a turn. That's the way it is with the Lord. It's the way it is with the Lord. I may make some wrong turns along the way, and I might miss that lane that I need to be in for a season, but God is always willing to reroute me. Amen. And to keep me going in the direction that I need to go. But overall, I'm still on that one road called truth, and I can't compromise it. I can't get off of it and remain off of it. I can't choose some other highway named some other truth, because if it's truth, there's only one truth. Or it's not truth at all. And I'm here this morning to stress the importance of listening for what God wants you to be prepared for whenever there's going to be a need to change lanes. And what precipitated this is, will seem, the message morphed into something almost totally different. But I want to tell you, because this is what you're facing. I saw a TV talk host interviewing Joel Osteen. And he was questioning him about what he preached. And about his great success, how popular he was. And he was talking to him about the fact that people criticize him because, "Sir, you don't preach on sin. You don't warn people about judgment. You don't talk about the blood of Jesus." All of these things that you don't preach on. And Joel Osteen looked at him and said, "Well, you know, if there's any reason for my success, it's because I just feel that I'm called to encourage people and to lift them up. I stay in my own lane. I stay in my own lane." Well, that's really appealing, because there are different callings in the body of Christ. And there's a time when you need to walk in the calling God has given you and not try to walk in somebody else's lane. But that doesn't apply when it comes to the truth of the gospel. When it comes to the truth of the gospel. He said, he was so proud of it. And he was trying to sound so humble. "You know, if I'm successful, it's just because I stay in my own lane." There are other people, he said, godly people, who feel called to talk about judgment and talk about right and wrong and all of these things and to bring correction. He said, but I'm just supposed to make people feel good when they go back to work on Monday. And so I stay in my lane. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, sometimes it is required that you change lanes. You can't stay in your own lane when it comes to the truth of the gospel. In other words, on His highway, there are no warning signs. On His highway, there are no exits because of a crash up ahead. On His highway, this road that you're on can be truth or it can be some other belief system. On His highway, you miss the narrow way, which requires repentance. You know, God created the church to bring forth the whole spectrum of truth within any given church. But in a situation like that, an entire megachurch hears nothing but a positive word to make them feel good. And if you never hear the word repentance, and if you never hear the blood of Christ, and if you never hear anything that brings correction, how can you ever find the narrow way? How can you walk with the Lord? One highway leads to life. It is the highway of truth. And God's positioning system, as you're on that one highway, may, however, lead you to change lanes many times along the way. You know, addressing that one statement again, you don't get to stay in one lane. You don't get the luxury of staying in one lane. And you don't get to have your whole life wrapped up around being nice and being liked by everybody. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you also. And we need to accept that truth from the Word of God. We are called to stand for truth even if people hate us, and some will. Pastors are constantly, I'm going to speak from the standpoint of the pastor for a moment, since it's a pastor that I was speaking of. Pastors are constantly required to change lanes, but not leaving the highway of truth. We stay on the highway of truth, but we have to constantly change lanes. Some days the pastor must drive in the lane of profit and bring a word that is prophetic. It cuts. It's black and white. And there's no other way around it. This is what the Word says. And you must repent and line up with it. Amen. But then the very next time, he may drive in the lane of encourager. And he may bring a positive message that the people need to hear to build them up and to encourage them in a special way in that moment. And even in everyday conversation. Sometimes, in everyday conversation, the word has to be, no, brother or sister, that's not what the Bible says. This is what you need to see here. But the next time it may be, I want to encourage you because you're standing strong in the Lord. And so there's a message of encouragement 101. Sometimes he is the confronter in chief. He has to confront sin. It's a horrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling when there's someone in the church, in the body, that's walking in just outright rebelliousness and thinks that their sin is hidden and everybody knows about it. It affects the entire church. And the Bible says that you have to go to them and you have to confront them and you have to deal with it. Sometimes he drives the truck or the car of a warrior. Because we're called to fight spiritual battles. And we're called to battle over the people of God in prayer, to stand against the enemy of our souls. And sometimes when there's a death or a terrible tragedy, then he's the comforter or she's the comforter. They have to come along and comfort the person of God who is hurting. Sometimes they're a counselor. And they need to counsel and give godly direction and wisdom in a situation. Sometimes they're just called to teach and to instruct. in the Word of God. These are all different lanes. These are all different avenues that we are constantly having to navigate and having to change. And it's the same thing in your Christian walk. You're always having to be sensitive to the Lord. Even in the things that I just mentioned that pastors do, you also are called to comfort. But you're also called at times to speak a word that may be confrontive to someone. You're called to be an encourager. And other times you're called to have a prophetic word according to the giftings of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sometimes there's a time to change a church. I was so glad that I could preach this today and not believe that there was any reason that anyone should take this the wrong way and say, oh, I think I need a lane change. I'm going to move to a different church. But sometimes you're in a church and someone listening to this message, you may be in this situation because millions are right now. And you're in a situation and you begin to hear what's being preached. You begin to hear the things that are being said and how all the congregation is listening and just eating this up. And you realize that these people are on the broad highway. And they're all after what tickles their ears and feels good. And they never hear the truth of the narrow way. And it's time for them to run. It's time for them change lanes. If you're listening to me today somewhere and you're in that situation, if you're not on the road of truth, if you're not being fed truth, if you're only being given an encouraging message, change lanes. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I just want to show you for a moment how Paul's life and the early church, how they had to navigate these waters and how it was the leading of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 16, beginning with verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, look at this phrase. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now when Jesus left, what was his final command? Go into all the world, every country. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They had to change lanes. They were doing the will of the Lord and going everywhere. And it wasn't that they were not to preach it ever in Asia, but it was not the timing of the Lord. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, we don't know, we're not told how the Spirit conveyed this. It could have been a prophetic word. As they were praying that someone had a word from the Lord, it could have been circumstances. It could have been that the door was closed. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision. Now a vision is going to tell Paul what lane he needs to be in. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. It's amazing. Paul, in the middle of the night, he sees a vision, and there's a man standing there. Paul knows that the man is from Macedonia, and he says, come to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel there. So Paul was always sensitive to these movings of the Lord to be where the Lord wanted him to be. I'm asking you this morning to consider in your own life, do I listen to the Holy Spirit as He seeks to keep me in the lane that I need to be in at any particular given time? Turn to Acts chapter, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 17. And we're going to talk about the main highway, because Paul always stayed on the one road, the narrow road of truth. This was the emphasis of his life, beginning with verse 23. I'm sorry, beginning with verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize. He let other people do the baptisms, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. He didn't ever seek to be clever. He was one of the most highly educated men of his day in Judaism. But when he became a Christian, he did not depend on his vocabulary. He did not depend on his great knowledge. He depended upon the message of the cross and the power of the Holy Spirit. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Because we don't come to it intellectually. We come to it with the heart. Go down to verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. Everybody around him, it was either a stumbling block to them, they couldn't receive it, or they thought it was foolish. But to those who were called, out of both of those, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, if there were such a thing, is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He's being almost poetic there. There's no weakness in God. But he's saying on God's bad days, if there were such a thing, when he got up and he was weak that day, you know, I get up some days and I don't have any strength. And if God had such a day, he'd still be infinitely more powerful than any of us on his weak day. Turn to 2 Corinthians verses 1 through 5. I mean, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When he says that, he's speaking of the whole message of the cross, which includes death, burial, resurrection, the gospel. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul kept the main focus, the main focus. He was always driving on the main road that leads to heaven. He was always on the road of truth. He did not compromise truth for anyone. He did not try to teach people how to have their best day yet. He did not try to tell them that, oh, I want you to feel good when you go to work the next day. If you're walking in sin, I want you to understand what sin is so that you can change lanes.
Amen.
Get in the lane of repentance.
Yes.
And then begin to go in the lane that is the lane of life.
Hallelujah.
And abundance and of power and of joy. He was constantly, Paul was always, though he was on that main focus of the cross and Jesus being the rock of our salvation, in his life, he was always maneuvering lanes as the Holy Spirit led him. Sometimes he had to pull over to truck stop and rest and refuel. Sometimes you hear a voice in your ear. You should. Says, this is the way, Mandalorian. Some of you won't know what that's about. This is the way. Walk in it. The Holy Spirit will say, this is the way. walk in it. Sometimes you don't hear. Sometimes you're listening. Sometimes it's cloudy. Sometimes you just struggle when you want to hear the voice of God. And He's warning there's trouble ahead and you miss that warning. So sometimes God will allow a crash in the road, a calamity, a storm, a pile up if necessary, to get you into the proper lane so that He can use you. And you must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that your brothers and sisters' lane may not be your lane. Uh-oh. Have you ever been at a light, a traffic light, and you try to, for some reason, there's something you want to warn somebody, and you try to get the attention of somebody in the car next to you? And sometimes you can't. It's not too hard if they're right next to you, but try getting the attention of a third car over. When you're trying to tell them that there's something wrong, there's some reason, maybe they're in the wrong lane. Sometimes we're called to give that word of truth to another believer because we see that there's something wrong. They're heading towards a disaster. But there's a fine line here, and I want to throw this out to you for just a moment, because if you don't do this by the Holy Spirit, then you can be damaging. You can be having a negative effect that God doesn't intend for you to have in somebody else's life. Their lane is not always your lane. And sometimes you get to looking at somebody. Remember, as long as they're on the freeway of truth, heading the same direction you are, God is in charge of which lane they're in. And there are times in the Word where He says, that person is accountable to the Master. God will deal with them. There are times you may see somebody and they're not in the right lane. You may know that they're not in the right lane, but the Holy Spirit may say, I'm able to take care of them. I can get them back in the proper lane. You keep your eyes on the road and quit trying to get somebody's attention three lanes over. Because even if you could get them to roll their window down, if they're not in the Spirit, if they're not understanding, they're not going to hear what you have to say anyway. So there's a time that we don't put our attention on somebody else's driving and their lane, and we keep our eyes on the road. Because after all, they're still on the road heading to the same destination that we are. You might not understand their detour, but you can trust them to their Master. So in closing, how do you discern? How do you discern this thing that I'm talking about? How do you understand lane changes when it's time? Some today, if not careful, I always am apprehensive about a message like this because flesh wants to get involved really, really badly. The enemy wants to stir up flesh. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, if someone is just restless, if they're just restless, maybe they're not resting in the Spirit. Or you know how the grass is always greener on the other side? Oh, that lane over there looks better. I think it's time for me to change lanes. Well, that may not be the Spirit of God at all. How do we discern? And how do we travel in the lane that God has ordained for us? And then how do we not miss the changing of the lanes? Well, first of all, before I try to answer that, I want to give another praise to God for rerouting. I'm sure that I've missed the lane many times, but God has been abundantly faithful to me to just keep rerouting. Just keep rerouting. I think that's why I love that little thing on the GPS so much, because it's like God in that sense. It just puts me back on track. One of the first things that I want to give you is a lesson I learned from the writings of George Mueller. If you remember, if you're not familiar with him, George Mueller, in Bristol, England, many years ago, he built orphanages and he housed thousands of orphanages in his ministry. And from the very beginning, it was a work of the Spirit of God and it was miraculous. If you can't prove God, you have to trust and believe the Word of God. But if you really want something that comes close to proving God, it won't change your heart. But if you want to prove God, read the writings of those who have had such supernatural answers to prayer that it slaps you in the face that it can't be anything other than God. George Mueller in his lifetime prayed in millions of dollars in today's money to take care of orphans, and he never asked a person for a dime. He never put out a newsletter that said, "Would you please give to my ministry?" He never made the needs known. God put it on his heart to bring all of his needs to him in prayer. And from day one, he would pray. And things would happen. We have no food today. We've got 200 orphans sitting here. And he leads the orphans in prayer. And then within a short while, a truck pulls up to the orphanage with all of this food. Someone felt that God was telling them to come and bring to them. And it was every day. It was over and over. He would pray and God would send $25,000. It just unbelievable, a lifetime of it. Nothing that you could ever say was coincidence. Unbelievable. And in his principles of prayer, he says, one of the things that I must do is I must come to God having gotten myself into the position or the attitude that I have no will of my own concerning this thing. Lord, it's all your will. It's not up to me. In other words, I'm not emotionally attached. If you say no, that's fine. How many of you, when you pray, and how many times have I been pleading with the Lord because I want this so much? And if he doesn't do it, I'm going to be so disappointed. George Mueller wasn't disappointed if it didn't happen the way that he thought it ought to happen. God answered because he came and he made sure that there was no known sin in his heart and that he was clean before the Lord. There were several things and that he had no will of his own in the matter. But if there was something in the Word of God that showed that it was the will of God, of course he would bring that to the Lord and say, "Your Word says," and he would pray in faith, believing that he had it. And God answered. And so concerning this matter of lane changes, you have to come to the place that, okay, Lord, I think you're wanting to change my job, but it's up to you, Lord. I want it to be your will. I don't want to change lanes if it's not your will. I don't want to get on a lane that's taking me some other direction if it's not your will, Lord. I don't want to try to create this ministry or this thing if it's not your will, Lord. You have to come to the place where I have no emotional attachment to it. And if God says no, I'm not going to be disappointed. It's all your will because, Lord, your will should be what excites me most of all. And so this first thing that you must have is that it be the will of the Lord, whatever it is. I'm praying for this thing because I believe it to be God's will. Sometimes people will hear a message like this and it will appeal, as I said a moment ago, to their flesh because they're tired of waiting on the Lord. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you are praying for something or you believe God has a change in store for you, but you've been believing that and waiting for a long time and you're getting tired of waiting? This is a very dangerous time. This is when you can step over into the wrong lane, believing it to be God and not knowing that it's God or not. And so it is important that we wait on the Lord. The Word tells us over and over, those that wait on the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not be weary. Second thing that I wanted to bring to you is, do not become weary in that waiting, because sometimes you'll just give up and quit. And you'll stop listening and you'll stop watching just one day too soon. One day too soon, God's answer might be tomorrow. And you're so tired of waiting that you quit and you give up, and then you don't see it and you don't hear it. Let me give you a little fact about God. God, we can't say that He is this because He's perfect in His timing, but He seems late. He seems slow. And in our time, He is slow to move, but beloved, when He does move, it's suddenly. You may have waited 3 years, but then when He says now, He means now, and you don't have time to do anything else but do what He says. But we don't want to run and do something until we know that it's what He says. You may be contemplating changes in your life. I'm not necessarily talking about ministry or big things. How many of you know God wants to change your lane constantly in your heart? He wants you to get off of one lane and one way of thinking and maybe all of your direction, and maybe He was leading you in a certain direction, even in your thought life for a while. But then you don't want to stay stuck on that, because today He may want to talk to you about your personality. He may want to talk to you about it's time to stop being sandpaper and rubbing everybody the wrong way. He may want to talk to you about being kinder. He's always dealing with these lanes in our life. Number three, you must listen, watch, pray, and wait. Listen, watch, pray, and wait. And I will say that it's easy to miss, though I'm thankful for rerouting. You say, how is it easy to miss? Well, Jesus said, the Spirit is like the wind. And it blows, and you don't know from where it's blowing, and you don't know to where it's blowing. You have to be waiting and ready. He didn't say this, but I'm going to put it in our language. You must be ready at any time to lift up the sails on your boat. When you know that the wind is coming from the Lord, and to go the way that it takes you. And sometimes God won't even tell you where it's going to take you. Say, what do you mean? Sometimes God will say, get ready, you're going in this direction, just like He did Abraham. Get up and go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham had to get up, get ready, and go and be shown day by day, step by step. That's the way the Lord leads us, right? Day by day, step by step. Very few people, if any, ever get this vision of the whole picture of the future of their life. Out of all the ministries I know one ministry, and it's between the Lord, whether this is true or not, I know one ministry that the Lord supposedly showed her this shopping center and said, this is where you're going to get this whole shopping center piece by piece. Your church is going to be in this building, and you're going to have ministries in all of these other store fronts. And it's going to be a worldwide ministry, and it all has come to pass, just as the Lord showed her. That's not the way God usually works. God usually says, no, we're going to take this step. I want you to do this. And after you're obedient and you do this, then I'm going to unfold the next step to you. Right now, you need to be in this lane. But I'm not going to show you yet until you follow me in this lane and you see where that leads you, then I will maneuver you into a different lane. It's like David, King David, when the Lord says concerning that next battle, he said, I want you to wait, and when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. I just love that whole thing. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you go forward in battle. David had to wait and believe that he's going to stand there in the woods and he's going to hear marching in the tops of the trees. The wind began to blow, and I don't know how it sounded or what, but he knew it was the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. That was his lane. That was his time to step forward in battle, and God gave him victory. And lastly, understand that there are many hindrances and that we need to pay attention to those hindrances in our own life. Pride, pride, pride. Chief of all sins. Pride that brought Satan down from highest angel under God himself and cast out of heaven to become Lucifer, or to be what is called the devil. Today, pride, pride. I will do this. I will do this. I will ascend like Nebuchadnezzar. I will build. Look at what I have built. Look at this kingdom that I have built. It's all been my doing. I've done all of this. Sometimes you hear Christians and all they can talk about is my lane. They don't use these words, but they're talking about the lane they're in. And this is, it's all of this. It's me, 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 I. And if I ever do that, God forgive me. And you point it out. Let me know. Pride. Uncertainty. Uncertainty. Doubt. Doubt comes in. And We begin to doubt the things that God is showing us, and there comes a time, I've experienced it in my own life, there comes a time that you have to be able to speak it out loud and say, God says, this is what I'm to do, and He will be in it. He'll take care of me, or whatever it may be, or He will give this to me, and believe and stand upon what God has shown you before He will actually accomplish the thing that He has said. There are just a few of you who remember when we went from the house on East 8th Avenue to the little hotel out on Main Street for a meeting room. And then we found the building on McDonald Street, and there was a meeting. I was going to meet with the landlady. And I really believed God was saying, by faith, take this. By faith, this is what you're going to do. But you will always, let me tell you a secret here. You'll always be assailed with the attempt of the enemy to bring doubts in, no matter how much you believe. He's going to always try to insert little doubts. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. You're going to stand up and you're going to tell the church, we're going to do this, and then it's not going to work. And what are they going to think? And I had to stand up on Sunday morning and say, I'm going to meet with this lady, and God has shown me this is where we're going, and I believe with all my heart He's going to let us have this at this greatly, ridiculously reduced rent. God's going to be in it. And this is where we're going to be meeting. And all the time, I'm like, okay, God, you got to back me up here, you know? And that happened at least on two different occasions, different things that I had to say it and I had to believe it. And then in spite of some doubts, God just came through in a miraculous way. Absolutely trust the Lord. Sometimes changing lane is the fear fear and anxiety of leaving the familiar lane that you're in. Maybe the lane that you're in seems to work really well for you, and now you're comfortable. This can be applied to so many things. I have no thought in my mind of what it may mean, how it may be applied in your life. But you may be afraid and tentative about leaving what's already familiar. But if you look at those who follow the Lord in the Word of God, they were always stepping out into new ground. God was always meeting them there. There comes a time that God's not meeting you on the familiar ground anymore. He's going to meet you in the new place, the new ground, the new lane that He puts you in. And you have to be willing to move into that lane to see what God wants to do in your life. Think about Moses leaving Egypt. Contrary to the movies, the Bible doesn't say he was exiled. The Bible doesn't say that they cast him out. It says that he fled. He chose to leave. And he knew what he had in Egypt. He knew that he had riches and power, pleasure, fame, everything that a man could want. But he said it was better to suffer with the people of God. And he changed lanes and went into the wilderness, and there God met him in the burning bush. God would not have met him in that way if he had stayed in Egypt. Don't love the lane that you're in so much that you miss the lane that God has for you. Amen. I think there's probably some other person who would wrap this up far better than me. But that's all I have. What I feel like the Lord's given me, you are mature Christians. Take it and apply it. Say, God, what are you saying to me in my life concerning this? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. And I thank you, Lord, for your word, because it is true and it's powerful. And you've raised up a group of people here that are on that narrow road, and they love your word. They love the truth and they know the truth. And I believe you will keep them all the way to heaven from compromising and from leaving that narrow way that you have called them to. But Lord, the joy of lanes and lane changes and finding fulfillment in life in the things that you call us to is immeasurable. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep each one of them where they can see and they can hear what you're saying and the lane that you would have them in. Don't let them stay in one lane so long that the lane becomes a rut. We don't want to be in a rut, Lord. So always, if it's the lane there to be in, keep it fresh and dynamic for them. And when it's time to switch lanes, show them the glory in it, the beauty in it. Let them take that step of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close out the live stream. Lord bless you and be with you this week.